coast and a landing in North Korea. O'Banion, get Hartunian on the intercom for me.
Yes'm.
Hartunian here. Do you have enough fuel left to shoot down a couple of fighter planes? She heard him gasp, then,
Yeah, I think so.
Just about, if you can put us in a position to lay the beam on them. I've got one of them sitting in front of us now, about 11 o'clock level. Give me a minute. The plane lurched again as Harry turned to Nakamura, sitting at the console beside him. His safety harness cut into his shoulders. I'm going to be black and blue tomorrow, Harry thought, if we're still alive tomorrow. You ready to fire again? He asked Nakamura. His voice sounded unnaturally loud, urgent in his own ears.
Another missile? Taki shouted back.
Gook fighter plane. She blinked at Harry once, then said merely,
Let's see if I can get acquisition. We're bouncing around so much.
She began to peck at her keyboard. As he watched her, Harry mumbled, Sorry about the gook, Taki. I wasn't thinking. Without taking her eyes from her console screens, Nakamura said deadpan,
That's okay. I'm not offended. I'm a nip, not a gook.
Oh.
Get your terminology straight, Round Eye.
Harry almost started to chuckle.
Acquisition! Nakamura called out.
No!
Jumped out. The plane's shaking too much, Harry. I can't get a lock on the target.
You've got to.
If they could hold us steady for half a minute.
Harry toggled the intercom switch. Colonel, we've got the fighter in our sights, but we're bouncing around so much we can't get a lock on it. Without an instant's hesitation, Colonel Christopher's voice replied, Not much I can do about it, mister. Sitting tensely at the table in the Situation Room, General Scheib heard the intercom chatter from Able One. His laptop screen was blank, he was getting audio only, but it was enough to make him sweat with anxiety. Standing in front of the wall screen image of the now-empty North Korean launch site, General Higgins said loudly,
Well, we've showed the world that we can shoot down ballistic missiles. We've changed the global strategic picture.
Zuri Coggins shook her head.
Not if they shoot down our plane, General. All we've shown is that we can trade a very expensive aircraft and crew for a couple of cheap missiles.
Scheib glanced at the others who had drifted toward the wall screen display and stood around General Higgins. Quietly, he called up on his laptop screen the command organization of Misawa Air Base. He's got to be there, Scheib muttered to himself as he scrolled down the list of names. And there he was. Mitchell Watson, executive officer of the 35th Fighter Wing. Headquartered at Misawa. Japan, Misawa Air Base.
Brad, are you nuts?
Brigadier General Mitch Watson stared at the image of his old friend and academy classmate on the screen of his telephone console. I'm deadly serious, Mitch, said Brad Scheib. He certainly looked serious, Watson thought. Absolutely grim. Watson leaned back in his desk chair. His eye caught the tennis trophy that he and Scheib had won back at the academy. It was Watson's year to hold the silver-plated cup.
Let me get this straight, he said, jabbing a lean finger at his old friend's image. You want me to scramble a flight of F-16s out to North Baidam, Korea?
Nodding tightly, Scheib answered, There's a 747 out there in trouble, over the Sea of Japan, near the coast. Your Falcons could mean the difference between life and death for the crew.
I'm supposed to do this on your authorization?
I've got a priority code from the National Security Advisor's office. Trying to read Scheib's taut expression, Watson realized there's more to this than he's telling me.
Why in the ever-loving blue-eyed world should I do this? It's crazy.
You don't want